We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Reverend Father Jake Kudian. Jake Kudian is presently serving as the Assistant Vicar of St. Stephen's Orthodox Church in Houston, Texas. And at this time, we invite Kudian to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Let us bow our heads for prayer. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Acts chapter 2. Verse 32 onwards. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 onwards. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. As many of you are aware, we are mourning the loss of our beloved Barnabas Dimini, who was the metropolitan of the American diocese. And I just thought it would be appropriate to just take a few moments to reflect on his service as a life of encouragement. As we just read, the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And Barnabas Dimini was very encouraging in many aspects of his life. First of all, he was encouraging and he showed encouragement to the sick. As an Hutchin, he was a chaplain in Kolenjeri Hospital. And he always had a love for visiting the sick. As he was bishop of this diocese, he would travel to many cities. And right when he would land, the first thing he wanted to learn, to know, was who was sick in the area. He made it a point to visit the sick, visit them quickly. And the sick were very happy to receive his visitation, as they knew that he was a man of prayer. In addition to being encouraging to the sick, he was very encouraging to the youth. As a bishop of this diocese, he encouraged regular English services, and he told the priests that they should try to do regular English services. He himself would do what he could. In every Kurbana, he would try to do the Holy Artha, O God, in English, the Promions and Sedras, the long prayers in English. And at the very least, he insisted that the sermons should be in English for the benefit of the children. He always preached in English. He wrote many devotional articles in English. Perhaps one of the most famous books that I studied and got to learn more about the Kurbana was his book on the devotional study of the Holy Kurbana. And I used that as a tool, and that started to develop my interest in the liturgy. He also wrote an occasional prayer book with prayers for different occasions based on various Bible passages. He was a visionary, encouraging women to step up and do what they could for the church. At every service, he insisted that women had to read the Old Testament readings. He was a huge advocate of the MGOCSM. He gave his full encouragement for the activities and the conferences. He was present and gave his pastoral guidance at the first leadership camp that was held in 2001, and he was there encouraging the children and mingling among the children. In addition to being encouraging to the sick and encouraging to the youth, he provided encouragement for the future of the church in America. As a child, I really didn't know Pidimini closely, but once I joined the seminary, I noticed how he took each seminarian in as his own child. On his birthday, he would send a handwritten letter with spiritual encouragement and a gift to all of his seminarians. On our life events, he would write letters with guidance and wisdom. For example, weddings, he would do that, or graduations. I'm often asked, how did 30 people in the past 10 years decide to go to seminary and study the faith to serve the church? People from random cities, different family backgrounds, but all instilled with this common vision of serving the Orthodox Church in America. And it's important to keep in mind that being a priest here is very different from being a priest in India. There's not much glory in it. There's not much financial stability, as many of us have to find other jobs to make ends meet. It's a life under the microscope, subject to a lot of criticism. And the language barriers are there, as many of us do not know Malayalam fluently. So to serve in a church that functions and does services predominantly in Malayalam can be a potential obstacle for someone desiring to serve. But despite all of these things, still 30 people, including a lady seminarian, decided to join the seminary in the last 12 years. And people often ask, how did that happen? For me, the answer is very simple. It's the sincere prayers of the Metropolitan at that time, Barnabas Pidimini. He didn't plan it. He didn't go around churches recruiting people or doing publicity to encourage people to go to seminary. He never did any of that. It was just a byproduct of his prayer and his life. The Holy Spirit moved in the Church of America to raise shepherds for the flock in America. He also encouraged, overall, a life of holiness for everyone. He renounced the world. Even though he came from a very wealthy family, he humbled himself as a bishop, often taking the bus and making it a point to visit all houses while he was in India, regardless of socioeconomic status. And when he was sent to a wealthy diocese of America, he was never affected by the luxury or the worldly things that America had to offer, but rather he showed us a simple life. And that simple life made him very generous in his giving. Although many people may not know, he quietly gave to many families who were in need and to many churches in the diocese who were trying to build. Probably the best thing I heard about him, the best phrase to describe him, is that he is the golden bishop with the wooden cross. In this life of holiness, he also encouraged a life of holiness in the church. On a personal level, he was very strict in his prayer life, with a regular Bible reading and meditation on a daily basis. And he took the liturgical services very seriously, and he wanted all the faithful to do the same. He always said it was important to have silent meditation prior to the start of the service, and also have meditation right at the end of the service, as he believed there wasn't enough meditation in our lives. He was keen on having the appropriate tunes sung, tunes that brought thoughts of repentance that made us think about the meaning of the songs. He was insistent that liturgical practices be done with meaning and that the words we pray are read loudly and clearly, especially the scripture readings. One of his favorite verses was from Matthew chapter 5, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And he tried his best to grow towards perfection in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stephen's life was a life of encouragement in all of these aspects. As a kid growing up here in America, we never had the chance to see Kurchi Bava or to see Augen Bava or Pambadi Tirumeni or Vattakumma Bava. And many of the previous spiritual fathers that maybe our parents or our grandparents witnessed. But for us in America, we should hold Barnabas Tirumeni as our spiritual giant, as our spiritual role model to emulate. Out of the young priests and deacons in America, there are many others who knew Barnabas Tirumeni better than I did and were known by Barnabas Tirumeni better than I was. But they're either in India for the funeral or unavailable to speak tonight. I hope they do speak more on Barnabas Tirumeni in the future, as we all have so much to learn from him and his life. As we are in a period of mourning, all of us as believers in this country are the fruit of his legacy. And we are called to continue his encouragement, to encourage those who are in need, to encourage those who are sick, to encourage our youth, to encourage the future of the church here in America, and to encourage all to live a life of holiness. Barnabas Tirumeni truly was a son of encouragement. May his memory be eternal, and may he continue to intercede on our behalf. Barakamora, unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father, who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.